You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Amen. Amen. So imagine you are newly released from prison and newly sober and welcoming a new baby girl into the world. That is a lot of new. Like, that's a lot of significant change all at once. And that was the reality for a woman named Heather just a few years ago right here in Fort Collins. Try to put yourself in her shoes today and just imagine how daunting it must have been establishing new relationships fresh out of jail, finding housing and work and reliable transportation, and scrambling for her daughter Ella to have care while she's working, all while fighting to maintain sobriety. Now, facing all of that is just not possible. But that is when Heather connected with an organization called Safe Families for Children. They work to bring the church and community together to keep children safe and families together. And Safe Families for Children surrounded Heather and Ella exactly when they were the most isolated and the most vulnerable. A network of volunteers embraced them and immediately began sharing the love of Christ and advocating for them. The volunteers baby-proofed her house and had hundreds of phone calls and got coffee and shared meals and connected them to a church family. After a year of support like that, unfortunately, Heather relapsed, and it looked like her daughter was going to be put into the foster care system. But Safe Families found a host home that cared for little Ella for several months, and so she was able to avoid the foster care system. And that kicked off yet another incredible and beautiful friendship through Safe Families with the host family that was caring for Ella. They met together on a regular basis, offering hope and help and prayer and support. And after months of hard work, her case with DHS was closed and Ella came home. And they've been together ever since, doing great. They're doing great. Here's a recent photo of them, actually. This is Heather and Ella. Heather keeps walking through life with her Safe Families volunteers by her side. Here's the whole crew at Olive Garden celebrating 1 year of sobriety. A year later, they went to Fort Fun to celebrate 2 years of sobriety. They helped her go back to school and get a degree. And recently, they took her shopping for a new car. And now 3 years later, she considers these volunteers her friends. Their unwavering presence helped Heather completely rebuild her life. And reflecting on all of this, Heather said, "I thank God so much for this program. The Safe Families that God put in mine and my daughter's life through this organization has been life-changing. This would not have been possible if it were not for all of you. Thank you for loving us so unconditionally. Thank you for being Christ-like examples." That is what I'm talking about. Sometimes we could all use an advocate like those volunteers. What a difference those advocates made for Heather. And today we're continuing our series called Famous Last Words, and I want to talk to you about our advocates. Our advocates. My name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors here at the Vineyard, and it's so good to see you for worship today. Thank you for tuning in online and worshiping with us. We want to dive into the Word of God and continue looking at the words that Jesus chose his last day with his disciples. Specifically keying in on this word, advocate, we're going to read from John chapter 14 in a minute. There's this famous painting that I'm sure you've seen called The Last Supper that depicts where this conversation that Jesus had with his disciples took place. They're eating the Passover meal in an upper room. They're all together at the table. And that's this story. That's this conversation. Jesus has already served dinner. They've already eaten. Jesus washed everyone's feet. He predicted Judas would betray him, and Judas disappeared into the night. Then Jesus predicted that Peter would deny him. And that's about when we're picking up the story. Jesus has repeatedly told his disciples that he's going to leave, that he's going to die. And as you can imagine, his friends are kind of freaking out. They're not real happy about this. And so let's read from John 14. That's where we're picking up the story, starting in verse 16. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and will later be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you." Skip down to verse 26. "But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative," that is the Holy Spirit, "he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak through your word today. Lord, we open our ears and our hearts to you right now to hear and to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So have you ever needed an advocate? Like Heather and Ella needed an advocate in that moment, have you ever needed an advocate? Maybe you've been lied about or betrayed. Have you ever felt like no one understands your side of the story and you're just too exhausted to defend yourself against false accusations? There are so many moments when we just need someone in our corner, someone to speak on our behalf, to speak up for truth. We need an advocate. And that's the word that's used here in the New Living Translation in verses 16 and 26. But if you're reading a different translation of the Bible this morning, you may have noticed a different word in its place. Your translation might say comforter or encourager or counselor or helper. And each of those words capture a facet of the original word where we get, from Greek, we get this word paraclete. And the variety of English words in those translations actually shows a richness and a complexity of paraclete, of this word. It has so many layers, it's tough to encapsulate the full meaning in any one English word. In 1872, the great Charles Spurgeon was teaching this passage, and he explained this word this way. Charles Spurgeon said, "The word paraclete is so full that it is extremely difficult to convey to you all its meaning. It is sternly and even primitively sublime in simplicity, yet comprehends great things." I know he used the word simplicity, but I think that was the only word I understood. But don't give up, because this is a signal to us, an invitation for us to like be word nerds for just a second and really dig into what the Bible says, because it'll help us understand Jesus. And that's what we want today. We want to understand Jesus' famous last words. And if you've been around church for a long time, you might have heard the word paraclete before. But unless you're a modern-day Chuck Spurgeon, you probably haven't used it conversationally anytime in the, you know, recently. But we need to break it down. You might recognize the first part of it. Para is a prefix that we still use a lot. It might even be on your business card, paralegal or paramedic or paraprofessional. Because para means alongside. In these cases, it's trained professionals who work alongside and assist in fields like law or medicine or education. So para, that part's kind of easy when we break it down like that. Cleat isn't quite so recognizable, but it's the word for call. It means to speak, to say out loud, to deliver a message, to tell the truth. If we move from Greek to Latin, we find the word advocare. Ad means alongside. Vocare is where we get our word vocal. So an advocate is simply someone who comes alongside you and stands by you, who is for you. They're for you and speaks up when you can't. An advocate doesn't jump out in front of you and then shout back at you, "Come on, let's go." And they don't stand behind you and shout, "Hey, let's get moving. Come on, go." An advocate stands right alongside you, right beside you, and says, "What do we need to do?" And just like the wonderful folks at Safe Families, an advocate sees the vulnerable, the overlooked, the powerless. And instead of just stepping over them to keep moving, an advocate actually stops and aligns with them to join their struggle. An advocate confronts and speaks truth to power. That's the vocal part. But an advocate begins beside. It all starts with empathy. Confrontation and empathy are tricky things to hold together. But that's what makes the work of an advocate so profound and effective. In verse 16, the words might be red in your paper Bible if you have a red letter Bible that shows the words of Christ. Jesus says that the Father will send another advocate. And don't just run past this, because by choosing these words, Jesus referred to himself as an advocate. Is that how you think of Jesus? Your advocate. Maybe you think of him as Savior. Maybe you think of him as your substitute who hung on the cross in your place. Maybe you love Christmas, and so you picture Jesus as 8-pound, 6-ounce newborn infant. Or maybe you picture him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all of those are true of Jesus and what he has done for us. But do you know that Jesus is on your side? He is your advocate. He said so himself. So let's read from 1 John, a letter that was written by this same author, the Apostle John, who was in the upper room at the Last Supper, listening to Jesus' words. And later on, he wrote a letter and said this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. He said, "My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. And look, in Hebrews chapter 7, it says, therefore, he, Jesus, is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. In Romans chapter 8, Paul wrote, who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Have you ever wondered what JC's been up to for the last 2,000 years since he ascended into heaven? He's been advocating for us. He's like our defense attorney, standing before God, the judge of the world, pleading our case. And listen, I am intimately aware of the particulars of my case, my shortcomings and faults, my habits and hang-ups. And I stand accused, and I know that I'm guilty. I know that Jesus knows that I know that he knows. It's not looking good. My wife's favorite TV shows over the years have been courtroom dramas. And after almost 28 years of marriage, I've watched more than a few episodes. And after that extensive research, I picture my hearing in the cosmic court like one of those cases where the defense knows their guy did it, and so they're just kind of hoping for leniency from the court, maybe a light sentence. That's how I picture it. Something like, you know, case number 092577, Matthew Farron. Yes, Your Honor, my client is a complete mess. He knows it, I know it, you know it, but he's had a really bad week. He's experienced a lot of trauma in his past. Can you just give him a break? Like, for my sake, just one more time, he promises to get it together. This is how I picture my case going down. But guys, that is not particularly comforting. Because how long can Jesus keep that up? Just one more time. And how many times will the Father say, okay, one more chance? But that's not what the Bible says Jesus is doing as my advocate. He's not some kind of hack lawyer with no case. Jesus stands before the judge, and instead of pointing to anything we have done, he points to what he has done. He points to what he has done. Jesus presents the cross as evidence that perfect justice has been served, that the law has been satisfied and our crimes have been atoned. That is what it means to have Jesus as our advocate. His case is just as perfect as he is. In Christ, we have an advocate who pleads our case, not based on our innocence, but his. Let me say it again. He pleads our case not based on our innocence, but on his. And look, Jesus didn't stop there. In verse 16, he said, the Father will send another advocate. And can we geek out on another word for just a minute? It's not nearly as complex as paraclete. It won't take long. But it has some pretty profound implications. There are two different words in Greek for another. Kind of interesting. The first means another of a different kind. Another of a different kind. Like if you offer someone an oatmeal cookie from a platter, but they don't like raisins, and so they say, may I have another? And they reach and get a chocolate chip from the back, the part that you kept close to yourself because that's what you wanted. But the word Jesus used here in this verse means another of the same kind. So when your friend finishes their chocolate chip cookie, they might say, hey, that was awesome. May I have another? And then they get another one, right? When Jesus says the Father will send another advocate, he means another as the same kind as him. Just let that sink in. That is completely staggering. Another advocate, the same kind as Jesus. Let's keep reading about this other advocate. In verse 16, again, it says, I will ask the Father, he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Now, I can't overstate how amazing it is that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father pleading our case. But look at where the other advocate is. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would be in us. In us. In this verse, Jesus predicted the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit would be poured out and fill all believers. And Jesus said that the Spirit would never leave us. That was a really big deal for his disciples who were freaked out because Jesus had said he's leaving. But it's just as big a promise to us today. He is in us and won't leave us. And what is he doing in us? Well, the gifts he gives and the fruit that he brings kind of get all the attention, and rightfully so. But along with that, Jesus described the role of the Holy Spirit as our advocate to us. To us. Jump back into verse 26 that we read before. It says, but when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. He'll remind you of everything Jesus said. Why is that important? Well, how quickly we forget. We forget the perfect case that Jesus is making on our behalf in heaven. We forget that the basis of our case is Christ's finished work on the cross. We forget our place. We forget ourselves. We make our case about our earning our way into God's good graces. But guys, without exception, that always ends in self-righteousness or hopelessness or both. And if you put your case back on your shoulders, there is this unsettling feeling that you can't quite shake, that you're about to be exposed as a fraud. That your defense will disintegrate before God and everyone. That feeling that you're about to be exposed is a near universal phenomenon. A recent study found that 82% of people experience what social scientists refer to as imposter syndrome. Have you heard of it? Imposter syndrome? And I would go on record as saying that roughly 18% of people lie about their imposter syndrome. You're not alone in that feeling that you're about to be exposed, that you're a fraud. No one is exempt. No matter how successful, no matter how famous, no matter their track record, everybody experiences this feeling. For example, some people you may have heard of, Nobel laureate Maya Angelou said, "I've written 11 books, but each time I think, uh-oh, they're going to find out now. I've run a game on everybody and they're going to find me out." Or how about Al Einstein? Maybe you've heard of him. One of the most brilliant minds in history referred to himself as an involuntary swindler. This was late in his life, after all of his accomplishments, just before his death, he referred to himself as an involuntary swindler and believed that his work was not as significant as people thought. How about Simone Biles? Widely recognized as the GOAT of women's gymnastics, Simone didn't feel like she belonged at a meet. How can this be? That most people have moments or even years when their concept of self is so completely unhinged from reality. We forget. And we need an advocate. Not an external advocate contending on our behalf to others. We need an advocate within us arguing our case right back to our own heart. If Jesus is like our defense attorney, the Holy Spirit is like our sober sponsor. Always reminding us of the big picture, to think beyond the current struggle, urging us to keep going and staying. We need that internal advocate who stays close, who doesn't leave, even when we relapse, refusing to give up on us, always reminding us of the truth, always pointing back to Jesus and what He is saying about us right now in heaven. And Jesus really, really wanted to make this point because on his last night on earth before his death, in this teaching, knowing full well that the cross was only hours away, he was carefully choosing his words and he kept coming back to this again and again. A chapter later in John 15, verse 26, Jesus said, "But I will send you the advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me." And then a chapter later in John 16, Jesus said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me." Through our advocate, the Holy Spirit, Christ's words are not just recalled to our mind, but they come alive in us, guiding us and transforming our lives. How amazing that God has given us these two advocates in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's already too much to take in. But then in the very next verse, Jesus promises something more. So let's read verse 27 again. It says, "I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." Peace. Peace of mind and heart. Don't be troubled and afraid. Thank you, Jesus. This is what we need. There is no other advocate in the entire world like the ones we have. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? So think back with me to Heather's story we opened our time with. You know what I love about her story? How she listened to her advocates. She sought their counsel, and she took their advice and kept listening even when they told her hard truths. And the result, it revolutionized her entire life. She is living in a measure of peace that just a few years ago, I don't think she would have ever thought it was possible. So, to all of you who are following the way of Jesus, you have these two advocates, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, pleading your case to the Father and to your own heart. But are you listening? Have the words of the Holy Spirit grown faint and faded into all the noise and the busyness, and grown so quiet that you can't hear the reminders of Jesus and all that he has taught? Have you forgotten? Have you rejected the voice of your advocate in favor of imposter syndrome? One of the most profound gifts that an advocate does is point to the lie that you believe. Or maybe you're listening to me right now and you know that you don't have these advocates, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And you're exhausted from constantly defending yourself. Making your case for yourself to anyone who will listen. Maybe you're desperate for peace of mind and heart. Well, I have good news. These advocates are ready to take your case. You don't have to keep defending yourself. In just a few minutes, I'll give you the opportunity to retain their services. And that changes everything. Will you pray with me?